All right, so we're diving into credit repair today. Got this step-by-step guide to repairing your credit you sent
Yeah,
over.
this is a good one.
Yeah, flipping through it, I gotta admit, the whole idea of credit repair always kind of makes me nervous, but this actually seems, well, pretty approachable.
Oh, it is. When you break it down, it's not nearly as scary as people think. And that's what this guide does really well. It like demystifies it all, makes you feel like, hey, I can actually do this.
Right. Okay, so first thing it reminds us is that a credit score, it's not just this, like, magical number, right? It actually reflects something real.
Absolutely. Your habits, your decisions. It's a track record in a way for how you handle money. Lenders use it, credit card companies, yeah, but sometimes even like insurance companies or utility providers to figure out how reliable you are.
Never thought about it applying to utilities. Okay, so this guide, it breaks down the five, what is it, the five key factors that determine your credit score? Almost like the ingredients,
Exactly, yeah. It's like the recipe for your financial report card. So you've got payment history, that's a big one.
Yeah, I figured that was got to be up there. Paying your bills on time, the basics, right?
Yep, that's a whopping 35% of your score right there. Consistency is key, shows them you're reliable.
Makes sense. Makes sense. But then there's this thing, credit utilization, which I got to be honest, I'm always a little fuzzy on.
Yeah, that one trips people up. Basically, it's how much of the credit you have you're actually using. So you could be paying on time, perfect record, but if you're always maxed out on your cards, that actually hurts your score.
Really? Why is that?
Makes you look risky. Like you're living right at the edge of your means, even if you're making those payments. It's 30% of your score, so not something to ignore.
Huh. So it's not just about being a good payer. It's about like managing that credit you have. Makes sense.
Precisely. Imagine having a $10,000 credit limit, but you're carrying $8,000 in debt. That's 80% utilization, way too high.
Oof. Yeah, that's not a good look.
Nope. Aim to keep it under 30%, ideally even lower. And then you've got credit mix, age of accounts, and how many times you apply for new credit. Those round out the five factors.
Wait, credit MSX, like
Yeah.
having different kinds of credit is good?
It can be, yeah. Having a mix of things like credit cards, maybe a loan or two, shows you can handle different types of responsibility.
Huh, like having a diverse portfolio, but for your creditworthiness. Okay, I'm with you. What about how oldy my accounts are? Does that matter?
It does. Longer credit history, the better. Shows stability, a track record. Like any relationship, the longer it lasts, the more trust there is.
So it's not actually bad to keep those old credit cards open, even if I don't use them much anymore.
Exactly. And lastly, applying for too much new credit all at once, red flag, makes it look like you're desperate, which is never a good look.
Makes sense. Okay, so all these factors, where do I even start figuring out what I need to work on?
Well, first step in the guide, take a look at your credit report. Got to know where you stand before you can make a plan, right?
True, true. And I can get that for free, right? Once a year.
Absolutely. Go to annualcreditreport.com, get a copy from each of the three big bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Okay, got it. But those reports are always so overwhelming. Where do you even begin to make sense of it all?
They can be, yeah, lots of numbers and jargon, but this guide has a great tip highlighters.
Highlighters, seriously.
I know, sounds a little silly, but trust me. Different colors for different things. Yellow for potential errors, pink for any late payments, blue for maxed out cards. Suddenly it's not just a wall of text, it's like actionable.
That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Like a color-coded action plan. So what happens if I DO find an error?
That's where disputing comes in. And the guide really pushes for doing it by mail.
Really? Why not online? Seems easier.
You can, but a certified letter with all your documentation creates a paper trail, much harder for them to ignore, and it triggers a formal process with like legal timelines they got to stick to.
Ah, so it's about like proof and accountability.
You got it. Now, the guide lays out four common reasons, WHY, those errors might pop up in the first place.
All right, so let's dive into those four common credit report errors, shall we? The first one, the guide calls it creditor mistakes. What exactly are we talking about here?
Basically, it's when the lender, messes up. Like, let's say they accidentally report a late payment, but you actually paid on time.
So simple human error, but with potentially big consequences.
Yeah.
Yikes. What's next?
Next, we've got collection agencies. They can cause errors too. Sometimes they go after the wrong person for a debt, or maybe they misreport how much is actually owed.
Oh man, that sounds like a total nightmare. Then, of course, there's the dreaded identity theft. Sadly, Feels like that's more and more common these days.
It is, yeah. Someone opens accounts in your name without you knowing, and suddenly, boom, you've got this mess you didn't even create to deal with.
And lastly, compromised accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when someone gets access to your existing accounts, right? Like without your permission.
Exactly. Maybe they snag your credit card number or hack into your online banking. Always a good reminder to keep a close eye on your accounts. Report anything fishy right away.
So let's say I've gone through my report, highlighted all the potential problems,
yeah,
and their IS and error. I send that certified letter, like we talked about.
Mm.
What then? How long does it take to get things fixed?
Well, the credit bureaus, they have a limited time to investigate, usually about 30 days. And here's where it gets good.
Oh, lay it on me.
If they find, you're right, if your dispute is successful, they have to update your report immediately. No waiting around for months. It's like, boom, instant improvement. Pretty powerful, especially if you need that score to move up quickly.
Wow, that's huge. Like hitting the refresh button on your credit history.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's not just about fixing errors, right? What if I, you know, actually did demiss those payments?
You're right. Addressing past due accounts, that's another biggie in credit repair. And then there are those dreaded charge-offs.
Yeah. Charge-offs. Refresh my memory on what those are again.
So basically, an account so delinquent, like way past due, usually 180 days or more, that the creditor's just given up. They write it off as a loss. And let me tell you, those things can really tank your score.
Ouch. So what can I even do about them?
Yeah.
Are they just like permanent damage on my report?
Not necessarily. Here's where good communication comes in. The guide really stresses reaching out to your creditors, explaining your situation, and seeing if you can work something out. Maybe a payment plan, or who knows, maybe even get some fees waived.
So even if I messed up, it's still worth trying to fix things.
Always worth a shot. Creditors, they often prefer to recover at least some of the debt rather than just writing it off completely. And for you, preventing a charge-off or working out a plan can help minimize the damage to your score. It's a win-win, really.
Right. Makes sense. Always better to be proactive,
yeah,
face the problem head on rather than just hoping it'll go away.
Exactly. And that brings us to another biggie. Those high credit card balances, remember credit utilization, keeping it below 30%, ideally even lower.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like not running the car in fumes. We talked about that.
Yep. And the guide has a really interesting point about that, a little trick that a lot of people don't realize.
Okay, you were saying there's a trick about credit card balances and credit utilization. I'm intrigued.
So it turns out consistently paying off your card like every month can sometimes lead to your credit limit getting increased.
Wait, really? So a higher limit can actually be a good thing for my score. But wouldn't that, you know, make it easier to spend more, get into more debt?
It could if you're not careful. But think of it this way. Utilization is about the ratio, your balance compared to your limit. So even if your spending stays the same, that higher limit automatically makes your utilization percentage go down.
Oh, I see. So like it's less about how much I'm actually spending and more about the capacity, I guess. Like
yep.
A bigger safety net means I'm less likely to fall through, so to speak.
Exactly. But gotta stress this, the guide's really clear. Yes, pay down debt, that's good. But past due accounts, those are priority number one.
All right, makes sense. Tackle the urgent stuff first, then work on those long-term improvements.
You got it. Now, ready for a real curveball. The guide says getting a new credit card can actually help your score.
Whoa, hold on. Didn't we just talk about how applying for too much credit is bad?
It is us, if you're doing it irresponsibly. But hear me out. A new card, USED responsibly, can show lenders you can handle multiple accounts. Adds to your on-time payment history, diversifies your credit mix, all that good stuff.
Huh. Okay, so not just how MECH credit, but how I'm managing all the different types I have.
Exactly. It's like showing them you're financially well-rounded, you know? But got to emphasize, responsibly is key here.
Oh, for sure. Not about to go on a shopping spree just because I got a shiny new card. But so many different types of cards out there, how do I even know where to start? This guide mentions major company cards, secured cards, retail cards. It's a lot.
It is, yeah. You got to figure out what's right for your situation, your goals. Rebuilding credit from scratch. A secured card might be a good starting point.
Ah, right, because there's that deposit, so it's lower risk for the lender, helps you build that trust back up.
Exactly. Good score already, want travel rewards, maybe cash back, then a major company card could be the way to go. Or maybe it's a store card with discounts at your favorite place. Makes sense for you. lots of options.
Wow. Okay. So many choices. Beyond new cards, though, are there other ways to kind of build up that positive credit history?
Absolutely. The guide talks about becoming an authorized user on someone else's account. You know, someone with good credit, that can give your score a boost.
Interesting. But what if I don't know anyone with, like, perfect credit who's willing to do that?
No worries. Another thing you can do, keep those old cards open. Even if you don't use them much, it shows a longer credit history, which lenders like.
Huh. So my grandma was right when she told me to never close my first credit card. Always wondered about that.
Sounds like she knew what she was talking about. Now, ever heard of Experian Boost?
Vaguely, yeah. Refresh my memory. What's that all about?
It's kind of cool, actually. It lets you factor in stuff like your on-time utility payments, cell phone bills, into your Experian credit report. Especially helpful if you're new to credit or rebuilding, gives lenders more data to look at.
Huh, that's pretty neat. Anything else like that out there?
There is. Secured loans, for one. Put down a deposit as collateral, then borrow against it. Less risk for the lender helps you build good payment history.
Ah, so like a secured credit card, but for a larger amount.
You got it. And speaking of support systems, Guide mentions these nonprofit lending organizations.
Yeah, Mission Asset Fund, right. What are those all about?
So they're specifically designed to help folks access financing, build credit, offer small loans, often with more flexible terms than, you know, a big bank. And they prioritize financial education alongside the lending, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, that's huge. So it's not just about, like, getting the money. It's about giving people the tools to actually succeed long term.
Exactly. Building that foundation for financial well-being. Now, got to be real. Credit repair, it's a journey. Takes persistence, takes patience.
Right, right. No quick fixes here. It's about making real, lasting changes. But this guide, it lays out the steps so clearly, it feels a lot less daunting now.
I'm glad to hear that. It's really all about empowering yourself, taking control.
This has been so helpful, honestly, feeling a lot more optimistic about this whole credit thing now. Thanks for breaking it all down.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners out there, hope this deep dive has inspired you to tackle your own credit journey. Remember, persistence, patience, and be kind to yourselves along the way. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Thanks for joining us.